Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, you're listening to Singapore's most influential radio station, and you're in the breakfast huddle with Elliot Danker, me, Minisha Tank, and Ryan Hwang. And yes, it's that time that we have a look at the bigger picture. We widen the angle, as it were. Huh, Ryan?
Yes, yes. And today we're talking about OPEC and how its allies tend to meet regularly. And what they do really is they assess the supply and demand for oil around the globe. But few gatherings has happened under such a volatile situation that we're having. And we're talking about none other than COVID-19.
Yeah, and I suppose we're in that phase of complete unpredictability. But for the oil markets in particular, all of these warnings about the global economy, and last year we called it the global economic malaise. I think we're calling it a lot more now.
Yeah, tough times ahead for many sectors, including the oil industry. And of course, OPEC's, I guess, job is to make sure prices remain stable and don't fluctuate too much.
Yep.
But if you look at where oil prices have been in the past 2 months or 3 months, they have come down nearly 20%. So not easy news for a company trying to forecast its production capacity, and also for the industry to predict what prices they need to pay for its, I guess, budget. So all this is going to be part of a conversation with Mriganka Jayapuriya. She is the head of news for Asia S&P Global Platts on the Bigger Picture. Morning, Mriganka. Well, it's great to have you here, because we have this OPEC meeting coming up tonight, and it will run through to the early hours of Saturday. So some market watchers are calling this a make or break meeting for OPEC. Is this a fair assessment when you look at how things have been affected by the COVID-19 situation?
You know, I was actually very surprised that OPEC members decided to meet physically in Vienna, given the spread of the coronavirus. And to me, that is an indication of how desperate they are to discuss the situation and to come up with some sort of an agreement on the way forward for them. It is a very, very difficult meeting for them because of the unpredictability of the situation. There is a tremendous amount of uncertainty where oil demand is concerned. And that uncertainty, of course, stems from the fact that nobody knows when COVID-19 will be brought under control. You know, markets had stabilized a few days, a couple of weeks back, when I think the world generally thought that the virus is contained within China, and even in China, the rates have peaked, and then suddenly everything turned upside down, and there were cases reported in South Korea, in Japan, in Italy, then Iran, and now it's spread to over 70 countries. And nobody knows the extent of economic damage it's going to create. So OPEC faces a highly uncertain demand scenario looking ahead.
Yeah, Mriganka mentioned a lot of urgency going to this meeting. How much has COVID-19 affected the demand for oil when you look at, for example, China's consumption?
So when one talks about oil demand growth, it is all about China. China has accounted for 70 to 80% of the oil demand growth we have seen in the last few years. And COVID-19 has severely disrupted business in China. All travel, whether you're looking at air travel, road travel, rail travel, everything is actually 50. In the Lunar New Year period this year, it was 50% lower than what it was last year. Now, what this means is lower demand for petrol, lower demand for diesel, lower demand for jet fuel, and that leads to a buildup of stocks in refineries. So refineries have no choice but to cut their crude runs, which translates into lower demand for crude oil. We are looking at a loss of 3 million barrels per day just out of China in February.
Okay, so $3 million per day from China. And of course, now OPEC is trying to agree on supply cuts, output cuts. Reports are putting it at 1 million barrels per day. Mriganka, help us to contextualize this supply cut. How much is 1 million barrels worth in terms of moving the needle on prices?
Yeah, well, you know, the other thing that we have to bear in mind is, if I just throw some more percentages at you, China buys 70% of its crude supply from OPEC and Russia. It buys 16% of Saudi crude supply. It buys 14% of Russian crude supply. So the demand devastation that Saudi Arabia and Russia, largest crude producers in the world, are facing is very, very real to them. Now, Saudi Arabia is, of course, they're lobbying for a 1 million barrel per day cut. Russia is still not committed to it. In fact, yesterday, Russia was non-committal. They said they would like to stick to the current agreement, and the energy minister left the meeting. The other thing to bear in mind is we're also seeing some other supply disruptions, which the market is completely ignoring at the moment. Libya production is down 1 million barrels per day. Venezuelan production is at risk as the U.S. government is tightening sanctions there. But all these supply disruptions have been completely ignored because of the demand devastation that we are seeing. If OPEC is able to cut by 1 million barrels per day, in the first half of the year, that is not going to be very impactful because the rate at which demand is reducing, and nobody is expecting this COVID-19 to get contained within the first half of the year. So what we're going to see is crude prices probably in the low $50s per barrel, at least in the first half of the year.
All right, chatting with Mriganka Jayapuria. She is the head of news for Asia S&P Global Platts. Mriganka, help us walk us through the potential outcomes of this meeting. So we have on the table a push for 1 million barrels in terms of a supply cut. What is your base case scenario? And if OPEC does reach an agreement, do you see any issues in terms of compliance? Because this needs everyone to be, you know, following the same rules.
So 1 million barrels per day. So the numbers that are being thrown out right now is between 600,000 barrels per day and 1 million barrels per day, right? Saudi Arabia is pushing for 1 million barrels per day, and it's very easy to see why they're doing that. Their fiscal break-even price for oil is above $80. We're $30 below that right now. So they are feeling the pain of low oil prices, hence the push for 1 million barrels per day. And as oil prices stay low, we are tilting more towards that direction, that they will eventually agree to deepen their existing production cut agreement and agree to cut by 1 million barrels per day. Compliance has generally been good. According to our survey, a survey that we did last month, it was at 128%. So you're seeing some countries not comply, countries like Iraq, but then you're seeing countries like Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, UAE kind of compensating for that lack of compliance. So compliance, I don't doubt the compliance. It's in their interest to comply, to try and push prices a little bit higher.
And Mriganka, of course, OPEC, very different from many decades ago. You don't have the US inside this cartel. Many others also not in this cartel. How relevant is OPEC these days? Because you also need other oil producers to be, you know, on the same page.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, if we're looking at our Platts Analytics forecast for non-OPEC supply growth this year, that is at 2.2 million barrels per day. So that completely nullifies the production cuts that OPEC is making, and which is why we are in this low price scenario, which we've had low prices for a long time. OPEC's relevance, well, they still account, you know, if you add Russia to the group, right, informally they are part of the group, they still account for about 30 to 35% of total oil supply. OPEC is particularly relevant to Asia, given that Asia buys most of its crude oil from OPEC and Russia. That's where most of Asian crude oil comes from. So it is still, and when you have Middle East producers, which we've seen happen in the past, when they are cutting supply, what ends up happening is Middle East crude does tend to get more expensive for Asians. But then, you know, Asia does diversify and has diversified. But really, when it comes to our refinery configurations, when it comes to the distance of travel for the crude, OPEC is very relevant. OPEC countries are very relevant suppliers to the Asian region overall.
We've been chatting with Mriganka Jayapuria. She is the head of news for Asia at S&P Global Platts, giving us a preview of the OPEC meeting kicking off later today. Thank you so much for your time, Mriganka.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.